everyone, back for session two. For people who are joining us for the first time and have chosen to skip session one, you missed an awesome session. We actually kind of overspilled the time. We didn't realize it was 40 minutes is that less. So for the second session, we've got an amazing panel with us. The second session will delve around the whole delivering value to consumers through digital brand activation. We'll try and cover topics of storytelling, leveraging consumer insights, exploring or reimagining what a brand has to say or how do they say it, what role does empathy or tone or tonality has to play, especially in these times. Our first speaker, Joao Fernandes, a nearshore creative director, meaning he tries to bring a deeper and always present creative thought to the inner guts of corporations and brands. He believes most brands need to have a permanent creative thinking and leadership inside their organization. They need to have those conversations in their corridors, their video chats, and in the board meetings all the time. Innovation and creativity, as per him, cannot be a department. They need to be a corporate culture. He also gets taken for being Robert Downey Jr. the most in India. So welcome, Joao. Joao, you're on mute. So if you can unmute yourself, that'll be great.
Okay. Thank you so much. That was a really nice presentation. Like you said, you should confess that you really wanted to Robert Downey Jr. to be here. So, but you,
yeah,
you
but couldn't. Yeah, but he was busy. You also had to settle for you.
So I was the cheapest option. Okay. So guys, I'm going to be very sorry, but I'm going to read the text because usually I speak a lot. So I speak until somebody turns the mic off. So I'm going to read a small text and show you a presentation. And afterwards, I'll be totally free for the Q&A and participate as much as I am allowed. Okay, so here goes. Without stories, humans cannot connect in an emotional and long-lasting way. This is really important to understand. Without stories, there's no emotion at all. That's the tricky part of using these in marketing. Brands are not humans, as someone said in the previous talk. And most humans recognize that. That's why brands often use human endorsers, but still the consumer knows they're getting paid to say what they're saying and minding credibility. The solution, always the same, honesty. Brands must assume they're not human and stop pretending to be. And start valuing the real and only humans in the equation, the consumers. Instead of just saying they need to ask, collaborate, evolve, and grow together. For a few years now, technology has been the disruptive factor in digital marketing. The price brands are paying is massive normalization and standardization of their perceived images. They all use the same algorithms, the same set of best practices, resulting in a notion of lookalike products, offers, and messages. And when everything becomes normalized, what will be the disruptive factor? You, in your singularity, your personal story, your needs for comfort, pleasure, and healthy long life. Ultimately, survival and happiness. Brands must be culturally and timely attached to persons, not to be persons, but to be relevant in a person's life. And this is my key message, okay? I'm going to show you the presentation with some examples of work. I always think it's really important to see work. And this is work which is very much like connected with the times we're living during this quarantine period, okay? And our brands quickly adapted to it and still say, hey, I'm here and I can still be relevant in your life. So I'm going to share my screen and hopefully this goes pretty well.
And go find them, right?
Presentation. Share screen.
Okay. Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, I need to. Apparently, I need to allow Zoom to do this first time.
Should I go ahead and do it for you?
Yeah, do it because he asked me to reboot. So please do it. Okay, I'll be signing
yeah,
you.
Please don't reboot. Please don't reboot.
Okay. Like I said, this is really like most agencies have been getting a really tough set of briefs in order to turn around this situation and still keep the brands relevant and alive. So this is one of those briefs. So move on to the next slide. And basically, this is pretty much the brief. Help us not to sell our product, but in a good way. And this is...
Life is whatever we make it. The traveler is the journey. What we see is not what we see, but who we are. The world. What is the world, oh my love? The garden of my verses, all in bloom. Nothing gives the idea of the constancy of character, like the firmness of walking through seas men never sailed before. It is only because your waves are pure. The end of one journey is simply the start of another. You have to see what you missed the first time. It's time to read Portugal.
Seems like, as you'll notice in a slide that it will come up, tourism is really important for the Portuguese economy. And the Office of Tourism in Portugal still wanted to say, hey, you're not going to be able to visit us, but you can still be in a way attached to Portugal and connected to us. So in these ways, through quotations of famous writers. So you cannot visit us, but you can still read us. So move on to the next one, which is out of the same brief.
It's time to stop. It's time to look out for each other in the distance. Time to stare humanity in the eyes. To take a break for the world. It's time to stop. Time to make a pause so we can play again. To think of everyone and meet no one. To reset, recenter, switch off, to move on. Time to change our little world. To calibrate the path of mankind. It's time to stop. We are meant to connect and we are stronger together. But separated, we are today more united than ever. And for now, our main strength is to be apart. It's time to stop. Nature, landscapes, beaches, and monuments aren't going anywhere. They will still be there waiting for a better time to be lived. And we must do the same for a while. It's time to stop. The perfect time not to visit anything. Sometimes to rise is to stand still. It's time to stop. Stop.
So you're moving too fast. Can you please go back a bit? Previous slides. Okay, so like I said, this is really important. Oh no, that's the one. So like I said, this is a really important message for Portugal as a country and also as a brand and a product. This is how big it is. Like there's a represents there, which is badly written, sorry. But 16% of our economy and 10% of all jobs comes from tourism. So this is a very important message. Please go on. Next slide. The key message is that we can still be connected while separated. And what connects us has always been stories. That's what's connected for thousands of years and still will continue to connect us. Move on. But this is something, the same way brands are not persons, brands cannot tell stories. And I'm very sorry about that. This is very important to understand because this single mistake has been producing a lot of, in my opinion, of course, a lot of bad work and a lot of misconceived ideas about what a brand can do. And in a way, not actually helping brands do a good job. Please go on. But that's something they can do. They can belong to stories. Again? Be an actor in those stories, the set, the reason to be, the motivation, the trigger. So there's still a key important factor and play for brands to be in those stories. And they need to understand that. And if they focus on being deeds and not a person, not in this case, pretending to be a person, which will they'll never be, they will do a better job. Go on. And now I'm going to show you a final piece of work. So stories can be very long and very short. That really doesn't measure the quality of the story. The quality of the story is the meaning that has and the capacity it has to inspire us to share that story with other people. That's how it all goes. So Super Bock is a very famous beer brand in Portugal, one of the two most important. And they created a new product during this pandemic period. So they created a new beer called Super Doc. And Super Doc, please go to the next slide, is basically an alcohol-free beer. And basically, by removing alcohol from the production process, they were able to do one very key important thing, produce a new product. And the product comes in the next slide, which is this. So this beer brand, by creating a new and make it very popular as alcohol-free, they was able to produce massive amounts of alcohol gel to provide hospitals with. So this is still a sub-product of a beer brand. So it's really important that by doing this, not only in the help of him, but they not pretending to be a person, but still be part of a story. In this case, a very important story for the survival of many people. So this is it.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Is that it?
Is that it? Well, there was a final one, but that's not important. Just a thank you.
There you go.
which Google helped me to translate to Hindi. Okay, that's all. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Our second speaker is Steve Austin Brown is the creative director for Avantgarde UK. He's been involved in the design of two pavilions within the Millennium Dome for people who've already visited and seen what it's about. Always fascinated in the integration of storytelling within live events, prior to joining Avantgarde, Steve created a series of award-winning brand experiences, including the global launch of the Olympic 2012 identity. Steve has led the multidisciplinary creative team in Avantgarde's London office for the past 10 years, producing new narrative experience for a diverse portfolio of clients. Steve.
Thank you. And thank you for the invitation to share some thoughts with you. I will pretty much go straight to shared screen, and this will work seamlessly, I'm sure.
I'm sure it will.
Hopefully I'm on the start. It should say Avantgarde.
It is. Now it does.
Okay. I will read through something again, because otherwise I'm sure I'll go on a bit too long. So excuse the script. I'm going to frame this around live brand experiences, as that is my primary creative focus. Avantgarde was one of the first live event agencies to move from defining what they did as live events to simply live experiences. This was a key differentiation, because what we realized was that an event was too trapped in the image of temporary structures, staging, building permits, big LED walls, and large production teams in black running around behind the scenes. Sure, this is part of what we do, but at our core, we realized we were and are all about creating experiences for brands. This freed up everything, and for the last decade or so, we have been exploring all that has the potential to create a unique brand experience for diverse audiences, whether they consumers or B2B. During this time, we have seen the possibilities of digital technology expand our potential to tell brand stories in so many ways, no longer constricted by what we can do within four walls and a floor. We could let our imaginations soar into multi-sensory and multi-dimensional experiences. We have allowed the one thing that anchors our creative flight to be the story at the heart of the experience. After all, we are following the great tradition of storytellers through the ages at selling the dream. This has served us well as we entered this period of global lockdown and everything has become digital. It has become interesting that there has been basically two approaches that have been discussed and explored by clients and agencies over the last few weeks. One has been around fear of the unknown. This is framed around the scary proposition. I had all these marketing events planned for the next 6 months, head in hands. What am I going to do? The response from agencies has usually been, it's okay, we can do a digital version of your event. And this is basically replicating the real world. As you can see, that sometimes don't look that good. The other approach is more interesting. It tends to come from a more optimistic and bolder vision. What can I do in this new world? What does my audience want from me? And what can I offer them? This is about reimagining a marketing approach and going back to what the brand should be saying at this time. This fundamentally echoes something we have been working on with brands for years. However advanced the tools we have to play with, it all comes down to the singular and powerful story you want to tell. We had cave paintings, we had books, we had radio, we had cinema, we had and have video games, all tools to tell a great story. Now the full immersive opportunities of digital activations are our tools. AI, VR, virtual worlds, virtual influencers, digital twins, AR tours, MR, demos, e-gaming, e-learning. I can go on and on. But forget the digital technology for a moment. All those tempting, glittering magic tricks. And remember that it will be the story that we as audiences remember. The power to resonate, trigger emotions, and yes, empathize our audience. To be respected for saying what needs to be said and reflecting the world we are coming to understand. That said, there's a fascinating YouTube video compilation doing the rounds. I'll share a link if you haven't seen, which shows that many global brands, certainly in the TV advertising world, have been using a shared universal and limited vocabulary. The same tune, the same visuals, the same keywords, and the same sentiment to tell their story at this time. And they do blur into one, as the video demonstrates. Understanding and accepting that these statements had to be delivered swiftly, it is maybe not surprising that there is so much overlapping and interchangeable style and copy. It is also possible that there is indeed a universal story for brands to tell right now. But this does emphasize that what we will create as standout and power, sorry, I've misread. But this does emphasize that what will create standout and power is the carefully craft of that story. Time spent perfecting it early on will reap its reward later on, especially if we are going to be tapping into that bigger overarching shared narrative for some time to come. If you know of the John Lewis TV ads shown every Christmas in the UK, you will recognize the impact of a simple story told well. When we combine that finely crafted story with the amazing opportunities of digital experiences, we are able to tell the vital stories we need to tell in ways that will stand out, be memorable, and perhaps still shared when we are well into the new normal. In fact, digital experiences are here to stay and will become part of that new normal, not replicating physical reality, but enhancing and reimagining it. The terrible pandemic has changed the landscape. The tectonic plates of our cultural and experiential world have dramatically shifted, but this creates new opportunities for essential and bold storytelling. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. That's really a very interesting perspective about digital experiences, and we'll get into that questions with you later. I'll introduce our next speaker, Sakshi Verma Menon. Sakshi has been handling digital marketing, creative excellence, brand and strategy across brands like Colgate, Coke, Uber, and now Nicobar. She loves traveling and lives in the imaginary world of her two sons. Sakshi.
Quite a world that is.
Yeah, it is.
And you're seeing a lot more of the world these days.
Thanks, of that Amrita. World.
Of that world. Thanks, Amrita. Thanks, Atul. So guys, what I'm going to really focus on, it's tough to speak after two creative folks have spoken and given their point of view also on marketing briefs, but I'm going to try and do justice to what I think is important from a marketer's perspective today. And I'm going to delve on two specific things. One, which is the importance of storytelling and really how digital brand marketing or digital brand engagements can actually help storytelling. And the second is what I think as marketers, we need to start reimagining in terms of what we thought earlier and what is it that we'll need to reimagine as we go forward. So I'll start with storytelling. You know, and this has been spoken about, talked about many times, but fundamentally we all know that consumers aren't interested in hearing a lot more about brand promises, right? So for all of us as brand custodians, maybe a heartbreak moment, but it's true. The consumer really isn't sitting out there and waiting to hear about promises that we want to make about our brands. What they're keen to hear about are stories. What they're keen to know is a story that you want to tell them. And there are enough researches, enough studies that have been done, which actually say that brands which tell a story have the power to increase the value of their product or the service by about 20 times. And brand storytelling is really a great way to get your point across, differentiate your brand, and work out new ideas. And today, really, if you want to succeed as an entrepreneur, as a leader, as a marketer, you have to be a storyteller. There is really no way out. And digital marketing, or digital as a medium, actually provides you so many mediums today to actually tell your story, whether it's VR, it's social media, and beyond. It's important for brands to actually pivot from advertising, brand marketing, to actually becoming masters at storytelling. And I'm going to talk about five aspects of storytelling that I think are important for us as marketers. The first really is data-driven storytelling. Using data that digital actually allows us, or the our digital gives us, enables us to actually create, as marketers, visual, engaging, targeted stories, which can actually prove to be very potent for brands. What marketers today can do is actually create a story for Atul that resonates with him, a story that resonates with Sakshi differently, and a different story that resonates with Amrita. And that's a huge potential for all of us as marketers, something which just didn't exist a few years ago. And I think that's an important aspect for marketers to now be a lot more cognizant of going forward. The second aspect of storytelling is the whole concept of what I'm going to call mini ads. Right? We've all grown up as marketers learning to tell a story in 60 seconds. The consumer attention spans are decreasing. People are becoming content weary. And we need to be able to master the art of storytelling on the digital platform. And that storytelling needs to happen in different ways. It needs to happen through visuals. It needs to happen through shorter pieces of content. And therefore, what you need to be able to do now as part of your marketing plan is actually have many mini ads versus an advertising campaign. And that's a big shift in terms of the way that we need to look at marketing. The third thing, which actually I think is very important when we look at storytelling and digital marketing, is that today, the consumer is the voice of the brand like never before. Consumers actually want to co-create brands with you. Consumers want to share thoughts. They want to share opinions. At Nicobar, we've actually been talking to consumers a lot during lockdown. We've actually had the good old focus group discussions now happening on Zoom. And I'm amazed at the amount that the consumers want to share, engage, participate, and co-create with a brand that they love and the brand that they actually want to be part of. And I think that's very important for all of us as marketers. It's important for us to know that this is a huge untapped potential for a lot of us, because here you have a bunch of consumers who actually want to be part of this journey with you as a brand. It can be overwhelming, but it's important for us to start getting the most out of it. And also, we all know that enough studies have also been done which tell you that a large number of consumers actually admit to trusting peers versus just an ad. So UGC, user-generated content, greatly enhances engagement for a brand. And digital brand activations, to me, can actually help build a tribe for a brand versus just building consumers. And I think that's important. The fourth thing that I think is important is purposeful storytelling. You know, I'm sure all of you have read articles today which say that COVID is going to make all of us more mindful. COVID's going to actually is giving people a time to pause, reflect, and actually realize that, you know what, we've messed up. We've messed up quite a bit. And it's important for us as we go forward to be more mindful in our thinking, to be mindful in our actions. And I think it's important for brands to embrace that. And, you know, we've always debated to death as marketers about purposeful marketing. Is it important? How important is it for a brand to actually have a purpose? And I truly believe that more than ever before, it's important for brands today to have a purpose, believe in a purpose, act on a purpose, and talk about that purpose, because consumers are actually going to seek that information out. And digital, again, is going to provide you enough opportunities and enough options to actually weave that into your brand storytelling. And the last piece, I think, in terms of storytelling is about immersive storytelling. Steve spoke about it. But, you know, we expect that there'll be 200 million VR headsets sometime this year with consumers. AR is becoming a reality for brands. And therefore, it's very important for us as marketers to actually look at immersive storytelling. And that's really going to be the core of digital brand activation, where you can engage, educate a consumer at a whole new level. So to me, these are five aspects of storytelling which I think are important for us as marketers as we go forward. And I'm quickly going to just talk about reimagining, right? All of us have spent, I'm sure, significant time over the last couple of weeks saying, let's reimagine life, right? We're reimagining life, we're seeing life differently. And as marketers, the big question is, what's my consumer going to do? And I think I've tried to think of five different pivots, which I think are important. I don't think it's only happened now. They were, in my opinion, changes which were happening. They've just probably got accelerated. And they are probably changes which are going to happen a lot more rapidly than we had thought they would. The first thing for me is, we've always believed that, you know, physical interaction is the best. Nothing can, you know, be better than me talking to a consumer one-on-one, face-to-face, telling you how amazing my product is. In my opinion, that's going to dramatically change. That has been changing. Technology can do so much. And digital marketing will actually enable a lot of that transition to now happen. Digital marketing will no longer be a good to do, but a must do, or digital brand engagements won't be a good to do, but actually a must do for most brands. The second thing that I think we need to reimagine is we need to move away from brand endorsers, which we've all as marketers, you know, dealt with. We have brand ambassadors. We have brand endorsers. We have celebrities. To me, I think a big shift will be from brand endorsers to actually brand ambassadors. And I'm actually calling your consumer your brand ambassador. And fundamentally, the fact that the digital platform will allow you to have and create a tribe of consumers who will actually be your best endorsers or your best ambassadors. That's, to me, the second aspect that I think we should reimagine. The third is, this is maybe specific from an India context, is as marketers, we've always said, you know what, if I'm a niche luxury brand, digital is great. When I'm a mass brand, the masses in India aren't yet as digitally savvy. And seriously, look at us today. Government school education is happening over mobile. Digital has actually replaced a lot of physical interaction. And I think that's important for us as marketers to now finally accept and actually implement a lot more in terms of digital brand engagements going forward. The fourth thing to me is, as marketers, we tend to have an approach of mass marketing, mass advertising, one size fits all sort of an approach for at least 80% of our spends. And that to me will change, where you move from mass advertising, mass media, to actually targeted data-driven digital marketing or digital brand engagements. What digital will allow you to do is actually look at different cohorts differently. And fundamentally, what you should be doing is having the right insight for the right, with the right message for the right consumer. And that to me is a bit of a pivot in terms of how we start looking at the way that we plan our marketing efforts. And the last final pivot that I've been thinking of is, we need to switch the way we think of marketing to our consumers from a one-way delivery of information to consumers. We've always felt that as a brand, I'm going to put out my brand promise, I'm going to put out my advertisement, and the consumer's going to just take it in. We need to move from that to actually a two-way engagement with consumers. Our technology enables that, digital marketing allows that, the consumer is ready for that, and the consumer's done a lot of it the last 40 days. And therefore, the pivot or the reimagination for me is to move from one-way delivery of information on brands to actually a two-way engagement, which is really a conversation between a brand and its consumers. So yeah, that's my five things that I'm trying to think of in terms of how we can re-engage and reimagine life as marketers.
Thank you. Good stuff. Good stuff, Sakshi. You know, your first five aspects of storytelling, I mean, absolutely brilliant. We could have an entire session only on those, because, you know, the way we kind of tried to structure these sessions was, you know, the first session that we did, we tried to do it on why digital brand activation, and this one was really about the what, and you've kind of taken us to that tantalizing edge of how without really going into the how deeply, and that's going to come in the next session. So that's absolutely brilliant. Amrita, all yours.
Yeah, thanks, Akshay. Our next speaker is Avnish Tripathi. Avnish is a curious student of consumer businesses and consumer behavior, with two decades of consumer marketing and sales experiences across different categories like bakery and dairy, frozen foods, lifestyle products, premium alcoholic beverages, white goods, across different organizations like Mondelez, Britannia, Godrej, and Diageo. Avnish has traveled through leading challenging marketing portfolios and turning businesses around with large people footprint. He's an avid believer in the power of technology and processes, and he's excited by unorthodox solutions. On the other side, Avnish is a music enthusiast and amateur runner and loves playing superhero to his young daughter. Avnish, over to you.
Thanks, guys, for having me here. I absolutely love the points made by my fellow speakers, particularly from the creative and the brand side of marketing. And I do find myself fairly challenged to be able to represent the business aspect. And we all do know that these are very, very tricky times. So maybe I will try to bring in a certain sense of business perspective here, and then possibly lead you to some instigations which sit on the cusp of brands and businesses. So obviously the pundits have been speaking that COVID-19 has been a black swan event for humanity. But I do believe that for digital, it's been a watershed event. I mean, it's almost the equivalent of what demonetization was for digital payments. And it is quite evident that the operative world in the future will be significantly different in many ways as we move forward. But even before the pandemic struck, fact is that digital as a media, whether for marketing, communication, advertising, or for activation, it was growing significantly faster than the other media, possibly at 2x of regular media, driven by greater adoption and a recognition of its higher level of functionality. I mean, it allows for sharper targeting, personalization, closing the conversion loop all the way to commerce. But I do believe that now it's going to only gain further advantage over all the other forms of media as we move forward. But at the same time, one of the, I would say, sombering thoughts at this level is that as the disruption took place, organizations and businesses, their degree of digital openness have suddenly got exposed. So some quickly pivoted with an agile blend of both mobile and telecommerce. We've seen e-commerce guys quickly reinstating business mix of both internet and telecom, while the others were just pushed into staying frozen. So what are my thoughts? I believe that as we move forward in their bid to stay both sustainable as well as relevant, several businesses will move to absorb digital far more closely in terms of not just their style of marketing, but also their style of operations in general. So a big move towards even trying out first party e-commerce, especially companies which already have a certain offline footprint in terms of branded stores. So next time, if you see a dairy, a small dairy player, which also has offline booths, which are fairly unglamorous, don't be surprised if you suddenly see a layer of digital coming around them, adding to their marketing and to their activation footprint, moving forward. I also do feel that several smaller brands, which so far often felt very, very disadvantaged when compared with large brands with large distribution footprint, could possibly suddenly get even with taking a far more digital first approach. But as curious as I am, let me possibly see if I can leave you with some instigations on how really even digital possibly needs to undergo a fair degree of change, because we have moved in from a point in time where digital was a nice to do, just one more medium of communication, one more arm, a nice fluff to add to your layer of activation, to suddenly now in the current space where a lot more is expected out of digital. And as we move into that space, would it be absolutely expected that businesses will be able to make that transition? Brand teams and marketing agencies, would they be able to make that transition? I think there's a key watch out here. As a marketer, if a brand had a template for on-ground activation or an experiential engagement, which relied a lot on the power of individual presence or personal connect, the same cannot obviously be templatized on digital. I think Steve mentioned about how converting an offline experience possibly has different spikes, but just a cut copy paste wouldn't just deliver the same message if you take it to digital. It possibly will need to be reimagined. And in that reimagined form, it possibly will need to have different spikes, possibly greater interactivity or greater personalization, etc. And I do believe that as that repurposing is done, it will possibly have to be done for the digital user and not by romancing the digital platform. I think so far a lot has been done by keeping the platform in the center, whereas I think the new times will demand us to put that put the digital user in the center and harmonize it with his consumer journey in the digital space. So let me leave you with, and let me give you a couple of questions. And I think Team Candid, I'm sure, would already be grappling with it. But then each of us as brand guys also do the same. So many foods and beverages companies which have had a significant out-of-home experience, which rely on the taste and flavor of the products, are suddenly going to see that their out-of-home component from business has just vanished. With consumers staying indoors more often, possibly newer consumption occasions are being created. How can those consumption moments be salvaged? How can they get activated? Or is there an opportunity for driving in-home consumption through some new kind of activations enabled digitally, yet relevant to the consumer in his new frame of mind? We always used to look at congregation points as a great way of getting efficient activations, whether it's schools, colleges, malls, possibly even food joints, horeca points, etc. But most of these have suddenly just vaporized away. So with RWAs gone, schools being shut, malls not allowing access, how could you create a version of activation which can be done online, done remote, enabled digitally, and yet pushes the complete loop right till trial or to conversion? People are not going to offices anymore. What happens to radio? And if radio is not being accessed anymore, can somebody step up and take that space? Is it digital music? Is it one of those platforms? How do we really take that piece and play it up to our advantage? Offices are not operational. What happens to the digital OOH? Can it be replaced by a stronger version AR, VR, in-home experience? Is there a possibility? So I think these are things that we are going to grapple for some time in the short term. And I'm sure that the new normal would definitely also lead to a new order. But I do feel certain principles would stay relevant. There is this whole idea around insights. I think the fact that marketers need to center their brands and their activities around the consumers, centered clearly around insight, cannot be truer than in the times that we live right now. The fact is, people are spending greater time at home on their devices, and they're expected to possibly do that in the near future. So marketers need to possibly find them where they are. What do they do in their me time? How do they interact? How do they transact? Now, it cannot just be around building their digital personas and building a strategy for connecting. I think it's also an opportunity for us to zoom back and see how our core consumer insights can be brought alive on the digital means. For far too often, I think digital has spoiled us with a lot of data, which then tempts us to move into micro-marketing. This is possibly the moment when digital and digital activations can possibly take a larger mandate, which possibly some of the other mediums have been taking so far. Personalization. I mean, we've known that consumers wish to be treated as individuals and feel celebrated for their distinctiveness. Categories like fashion, beauty, medical services already have taken a head start in terms of the way they've used technology to establish personalization, provide personalized solutions, move into personalized shopping experiences. I think it's going to be the benchmark for most of the organizations. So net, I believe the core focus, even for stakeholders in the digital ecosystem, is now going to be to drive connect, rather than the flirtation to do the next happening viral thing that could possibly be the talk of the town. I do believe that while content is going to evolve as we move forward, marketers need to be in sync with the ground realities and the emotional state of the audience, at least in the immediate short term. The next 6 to 9 years, possibly 6 to 9 months, possibly we'll see consumers who are far more anxious, are back to basics, and are battling maybe certain existential challenges. So more authentic, simple, assuring, uplifting tonality, rather than getting pulled into the slapstick humor which lent itself very well to virality, is going to be a nice thing to follow. I don't know. There was a lot of, we did see a lot of trend on formats being snackable, shareable. Of course, I think some of them would stay. But I think consumers are spending more time on their devices. Possibly they have more time. They are being repurposed themselves. So is there a greater openness for long format that engages them a little more deeply? I do believe so. I think there is obviously the ever-growing space for better visuals for retention and relatability, etc. But again, as a stakeholder from business, I again say that we are going to encounter businesses putting greater onus on what does this marketing activity do for us, particularly in the immediate term, because we're all going to be battling lots of existential challenges of survival and stability. So layers that enable transaction, layers that allow for frictionless transition of messaging into communication, I think are things that all marketeers, and specifically the digital marketeers, would end up encountering. I do feel these are the challenges that we all have to possibly scale up to, and it's going to be very, very interesting.
Thanks, Avnish. Seriously, very interesting and good viewpoints. Joao has been extremely efficient and has been answering questions for a lot of the attendees also. I think, Atul, do you want to take some more questions?
I think what we'll do is we'll just take one question.
Yeah.
I think we'll just take one question real quick from Sachin, Sachindra Rudra. And I'm going to come to Sakshi with this question that, you know, he's asking, do you think as things settle down post-COVID, consumers will go for what he calls non-digital revenge? Consumers sick of digital and being cooped up without too much human contact want more of it now. Do you think there's going to be some non-digital revenge?
First, after Sachin, your guess is as good as mine. But having said that, I actually feel that, yes, it's not easy to be at home for 40 days. And therefore, you do expect consumers to want to go out. But I do feel that there will be a filtering of what people will choose to go out for. And there will be some things that they say, you know what, for this, I'm just going to go out because we need to go out. But there will be a few things that they will choose not to go out for. So I think the consumer will make a choice, and this choice could differ by consumer. But I think there'll be a choice that people will make that I'll step out for this, and for this activity or for this purchase, I will not step out and I will only do digital. So yeah, I don't know if that's useful, but I do think that there will be revenge, but there won't be a blanket revenge. It'll really depend on categories and locations, actually, as well.
I think Joao disagrees to that, because what he's written is also interesting. No, digital will grow even faster. People will continue to be afraid of physical contact. The hygiene of the digital experience will be a key factor in future sales, is what he responded to.
Steve, you want to come in and kind of get your two bits in terms of what do you think people will do post normalcy, let's say?
Is the kind of $1 million question, but and I do, yeah, it's anyone's guess, but if I was going to guess, I would say, and speaking to people and listening to people who've come out the other side, who've actually even suffered from COVID and they come out the other side, strangely enough, the number one thing is that they have said that they want to go out, they want to hug people, they want the physicality of contact, almost a release. And I think that's because we have that innate humanity that is very much kind of part of everyone and that big community. But I do think, just as was said before, people are going to be more selective. You're going to actually think about everything you are about to do for a fair time. But do remember, disaster after, disaster, it is amazing how short people's memories are. And we will say all these things, and with the best thought and insight, ask me in 2 years, I think everything will be pretty much the same. But we've got a long way and a gradual move back to that. But I do think for brands, if you're going to do something and you're going to ask people to get out there and engage with you, it's got to be pretty special. And that's how you, if you're going to do something, I think it's mixing digital and physical again is a nice way to make those moments in the real world that bit more meaningful, and then keep the conversation going digitally, if that helps.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you to all four of you for being a part of this panel. We have to, unfortunately, have to cut it right now because we
are absolutely. We run out of time. Otherwise, there's loads of questions, and I'm sure you guys have loads of answers. Yeah. Apart from we just gotta go. So, thanks very much for your time, Sakshi, Steve, Avnish, and Joao. And for the audience, I think we'll be back in just about 3 or 4 minutes, not very long, for the next session. See you there.
Bye-bye.
Pleasure.